before I get started, I just want to just share one quick thing with you, and I don't want this to be too weird for you. I don't think it will be, but just in case it is, you'll know that I went into it with some measure of sobriety. But I'm just kind of giving you a warning that I've been here enough to know that the evening's not going to go how I had planned. So I'm just giving you a heads up. But this afternoon, I was just viewing the web stream for a while and was entering into the worship that was there, and suddenly my heart began to just be tenderized and I began to engage, and the lyric that was being sung at the time just really struck my heart. And I don't know how to say this for sure, but I just felt like, I'd just say the Spirit just descended on me, but as He did, something drew near, and suddenly it seemed as though somebody was standing with me, and it was holy, and it startled me. And I just began to, just at that moment, I just began to be hit with just revelation of the Lord and the reality of His coming and the nature of His coming, the nature of His appearing. And it's just been kind of coming and going in waves. And just during worship again, I just felt whatever that was just draw near again. And for a window of time in just the past hour, Jesus was so real to me that I felt like I could reach out and touch Him. And the thing is, He's always that way. But something, the Lord, it was just in His grace, something of His own kindness, and because it's His good pleasure, drew near in such a way that I felt like I could touch Him. And just with that revelation about His coming was just, I don't know how to describe it, it was just coming on me. And I've had seasons like that. And beloved, this is the context for what I want to share. I'm going to share about intercession tonight, but I want to set it in this context. You know, our Christianity is not recreation. We actually serve a man who lives. It's not a collection of ideas. It's not a collection of proverbs and clever sayings. We actually serve a man who lives. And he has a glorified frame similar to mine. And beloved, I can clearly see this man walking down that street at His second coming, subduing kingdoms and setting up His own. And I'm going to see this man. Beloved, our Christianity is so real. What we think and what we do and what we say matters. It matters. And the part that's striking me tonight is do we have any idea who we're in partnership with? Do we have any idea what we've been called into and what's been made available to us? I just want to qualify something again. I'm just in one of those spots right now, and I've been there with the Lord. It's just my zeal. There's going to be times that I sound angry. I'm not. Okay, that's just the way my zeal comes out. When I feel aggressive in my spirit, it comes out in strong language. You guys, I'm not upset with you or the city or anything, but I want us to feel it. And so it's going to sound that way, but just don't take it wrongly, okay? I say that for your benefit, not mine. But the Lord is going to return. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He sent messenger after messenger after messenger. He sent sign after sign. He's worked and He's done it, and He's worked and He's done it, that no one would perish. But there is going to come a day. There is literally going to come a day when this Jewish man sets his foot back down on the earth, and he's going to begin a restoration process that we can't imagine. Beloved, do you know that our destiny is not heaven? I know that seems strange to a number of us, and it's been the destiny of the church for a number of years. Heaven is not our destiny. The earth is not going to be destroyed and disappear. It's going to be restored. The Lord is coming to the earth. He's going to redeem it. He's going to restore it. He's going to recreate it. And this is the thing that's amazing to me, is we play a vital partnership in that process. What we say and what we do matters. There's a continuity between our life now and our life in the millennial kingdom. There's a continuity. There's things that we can say and do that are of fine gold that will withstand the burning when it comes. Whatever can be shaken will be shaken, but whatever remains lasts, and it stays, and it's carried on through into the millennial reign when his kingdom comes to the earth. He's going to hold us accountable for every idle word that comes out of our mouth. What we say matters. We have the potential to fashion gold as though it was refined in a fire, and it carries over. It matters. So, beloved, what I'm talking about tonight is intercession, and what I want us to feel is how we, as priests, as ministers, get to participate with a holy, righteous king. We get to participate, as it were, if you can look at it this way, in his situation room. You know, the president has a situation room. Beloved, we can enter into the situation room daily and deal with the king and his matters. I hope to show that clearly. I don't want us much talk about the priesthood tonight. I mean, there's lots of scriptures out there about that. I mean, Leviticus is just full of it. But what I want to talk about is, I want us to just, right now, for the sake of discussion, let's just settle the issue. We are a priesthood. The Lord has priests that minister unto him. Okay, that's settled. Now, what's that ministry look like? What's the content of it? What's the context of it? Unto what? Now, what I'm talking about tonight isn't your own individual calling. We're all very acquainted with the idea of our own individual callings. What I'm talking about tonight is the role of every believer. It's Christianity 101. Okay? And eventually, where I want to go with this is I want us to see what's laid out before us in the place of intercession, feel the weight of it, enter into it, and enjoy it, but mostly that it's unto something that's substantial. Okay? Page one. Well, just a little more introduction. You're familiar with the word kingdom. The word kingdom comes from two words, king and domain. In other words, it's the domain of the king, kingdom. We serve a king. If there's a king, then there's a kingdom. If there's a kingdom, then there's land, territory, with borders. If there's a king and there's a domain and there's boundaries and borders, then there's law. There's rules. There's conduct. Jesus very clearly laid out on the Sermon on the Mount, he laid out the conduct for kingdom citizens. But we're in a kingdom where that conduct is clearly laid out. But we're underneath serving the will of the king. The king has a throne. Throne means government. Every kingdom has a government. And we're a part of a kingdom where there's a king who sits on a throne, who has a will. That will is enforced in the kingdom. There's rules, there's boundaries, there's subjects. That's the kingdom that we belong to. The primary way that his government is released into the earth is through intercession. If he has a kingdom, then he's governing. If he has a throne and he's a king, then he's governing. How is that done? Primarily, it's done through the place of intercession. God has chosen intercession as the primary means in which he releases his authority on the earth. This is governmental power through Jesus and with his people now and forever. Beloved, we need revelation of the majesty and mystery of intercession. Part of this can be seen in the fact that Jesus engages in intercession forever. Hebrews 7, therefore he is also able to save the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always, forever, lives to make intercession. He lives forever to make intercession. I mean, think about this for a minute. Of all the things that Jesus could do forever, he takes up his kingly position on his throne, and what's his main job description? It's intercession. Beloved, we have to consider that. Of all the things that he could choose to do, why does he choose to forever make intercession? The mystery of intercession. The primary principle of intercession is simply to tell God what he tells us to tell him. For real. If we understand this correctly, all intercession starts in heaven. It doesn't start in your living room. If we're engaging with intercession correctly, it starts in heaven. And it's simply the Lord speaking to us about what to speak back to him. It seems so simplistic, it's easily missed. But it really is that easy. We'll see a little bit more about that in a minute. Intercession is God's brilliant strategy for including the saints in ruling with him in power. Its mystery is in its weakness, the fact that it's so simple. The majesty of intercession. The highest means of releasing God's power is intercession. Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, operated in the principle of intercession when he created the heavens and the earth. Jesus continues to use intercession to govern the universe in partnership with his people. The governmental, this is the part I want you to get, the governmental center of the universe is the prayer ministry. It is the situation room. It is the place where God governs his kingdom. It's where his will breaks into the earth, is in the prayer ministry. Now, beloved, keep in mind, when I say that tonight, I'm not talking about Harvest Hop starting a house of prayer or IHOP starting a house of prayer. I'm talking about every single person who confesses the name of Jesus and calls themselves a believer. Because we're all priests. We're a kingdom of priests. Well, if we're priests, then what is our priesthood? Where is our ministry unto the Lord? Where is our altar? Where is our temple? And if you're catching the drift of what I'm saying, it's not church. Church is just some place that called out believers collect and live out community together, which is great and wonderful, yes and amen, but I'm talking about as a kingdom of priests, where is it that we minister unto the Lord? Where is that? We have hints, you know, in the Old Testament looking at the Levitical priesthood. There's a hint right there. God requires us to cooperate with him in the grace of God. This is an expression of his desire for intimate partnership with us. Now understand this. God will not do our part, and we cannot do his part. If we do not do our part, then God withholds something of the help and blessing that he would have given us. Let me explain this. If you really understand the issue of partnership, it's almost unbelievable. Because there's a measure of partnership that has to include the issue of equality. If there's not equality, then it's not true partnership. This is something that was talked about in Philippians 2. And Jesus said it's not even something to be grasped. But there's an equality in our partnership. Beloved, do you understand? Do you understand how much our intercession, our words, play a part in shaping history? It's the total opposite of that spiritual fatalism that says, well, whatever will be, you know, God's going to do what he's going to do, and I'll just hope to be standing here at the end and see how it turns out. Totally opposite of that. We actually have a part to play in joining in with the Lord in our place of our priesthood, ministering unto him. He responds to the things that we say, and things in the earth shift and change because of that. Now, I know he's washing us with the water of his word, but we still have to look at that verse that says, the bride has made herself ready. Well, which is it? Is he getting us ready, or is she getting herself ready? The answer is yes. We have a huge part to play, and God desires partnership. Roman numeral 2. This principle of intercession, that is, that the Lord has something on his heart, he has a will, he expresses that will is communicated in words. That's really what intercession is. You can see this principle at work at creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together, and it was so. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and it was so. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Notice the us, the fellowship, the unity within the Trinity, how it appears in the creation account. God said, let us make man in our image. Come, let us go down and confuse their language. Psalm 2, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away the cords from us. Beloved, what I'm saying is, it's painfully clear that Jesus was present at the creation. Jesus didn't show up at Bethlehem. You know, he was part of the fellowship of the Trinity before anything was ever created, and he was present at creation. Jesus is identified as the Creator who spoke and said, let there be light. Now, I know that might be a new concept to you, but Jesus was present at the creation, and he was speaking, and watch what happens. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. All things were made through him. That's referring to Jesus. For by him, all things were created in heaven and that are on the earth. God who created all things through Jesus Christ. God has spoken to us by his Son, through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus creates, sustains, and governs by speaking God's word. Jesus sustains, upholds, holds together the created order by speaking the word to the Father in the present tense, who, referring to Jesus, upholding all things by the word of his power. Have you ever thought about this? He upholds all things. The stars are held in their place by his word. They are literally held there. The universe is held together by His Word. God brings us forth in blessing and power as Jesus speaks His Word over our lives. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the Word of truth. Okay, what I'm getting at is Jesus was present at creation. The Lord intentionally uses the word us in retelling that account. And then when we look at other verses, we see that these were created by the words of His mouth, and they were all held together by Him. And what's happening there is Jesus is playing a role, a partnership role in that creation. And what's happening is the Father has a will. The Lord knows the will. Jesus speaks that will out, and when He speaks it out, earths are created. And it's the principle of intercession being modeled at creation. The Father has a will, Jesus speaks it, and things change. What you have there, and this is what I'm going to hit more later, is what you have right there is perfect agreement. You have the Father who has a will, Jesus knows that will, speaks that will back, and things happen. The earths are created. And He continues in that role as an intercessor, even today, knowing the will of the Lord, and He speaks the Lord's will over us and for us. He's forever taken up the position of intercession. What I'm getting at is the issue of agreement. Beloved, do you realize that the fall in the garden is connected to disagreement? What we have right there that started the whole downward spiral and the whole decay process starting right there is the will of the Lord was made known to Adam and to Eve. They chose not to agree with that word and made a decision otherwise and acted on it. The whole sin nature in us and that whole thing entering into the planet, because He made it very clear, this is what you can do, here's what this is about, here's what I want you to do, here's your work, yada yada yada. And he makes a comment about what's not good. They disagree with that comment and act on their decision. Beloved, the issue of agreement is so powerful. And what I want us to try to get a hold of tonight, what I want us to feel, is I want us to make the transition, and I want the shift to happen in our thinking. Intercession is not a resource tool for problem solving. It's not what we do to get our lives in the way that we want them. It's not the thing for us to get problems solved. Although that does happen in the place of prayer. Intercession is the primary place that we as priests minister unto the Lord. He communicates His heart. We agree with it, speak it back into the earth, and the earth is changed because of it. Now, why would I think that's an issue of agreement? Think about this for just a moment. Think about the number of things that have to happen for us to stand in the place of intercession. For one, you've got to believe that God exists. If you don't believe that He exists, you're not ever going to go to the place of intercession. You have to believe that He exists. You have to believe that this is something He's ordained. You have to believe that when you speak, He hears your voice. You have to believe that you can hear Him speak. You have to believe that He has a will. You have to believe that if that will is spoken, then things change. You have to believe that the Lord responds and moves to at your voice, the sound of your voice. I don't know how many that is. About 7 things have to happen for us, or have to be present for us to even enter into the place of intercession. That's agreement. Now, beloved, here's where intercession becomes powerful. Is when it takes its rightful place and the Lord actually speaks to us, or we know His will from the written word and we're praying that back to Him. That's the highest place of intercession that we can hope to encounter. Why? It's perfect. His will is perfect. Remember, he tells you, hey, sometimes your prayers aren't answered because you ask amiss, that you may waste it on your own want. What he's saying is you're asking the wrong questions. You're making wrong requests. I'm not going to grant them because that request was rooted in your own want. And he doesn't say that that's unrighteous. He's just simply saying it's your will, not mine. And beloved, the church has used intercession as a means to get their life shaped the way that they want it shaped and to solve problems, occasionally direction. But for the most part, the church in the West does not understand its priestly role and does not understand that when we enter into the place of intercession, that we're actually responding to the partnership that he has with his priesthood and the fact that he's reshaping, restoring, and redeeming the earth. We don't understand that we've stepped into a global plan of God, and he wants us to stand with him in agreement and to partner with that and ask accordingly and see things shift in the earth. That's what intercession is. And I believe that's why Jesus forever lives to do it and to take it up. That's what I want us to get a hold of. Let's continue. When Jesus articulates the Father's thoughts, he functions as the living Word. One reason that Jesus is called the Word is because he brings God's private ideas into existence in the natural. Jesus was called the Word because he was the will of God embodied. There is no contradiction between the life of Jesus and the will of God. No contradiction whatsoever. That's why, towards the end of his earthly life, Jesus could say, "Father, I have declared your name, and I will continue to declare it." Jesus was the embodiment of the name of the Lord. He was the embodiment of the will of the Lord. He is the Word. The Word, I mean, you realize the Word is just will spoken. I mean, that's what our words are. It's their thoughts and wills expressed. Jesus is the living expression of God's will. Did it perfectly. No contradiction. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Okay. Jesus releases God's justice in response to intercession. Another aspect of intercession. Jesus taught that justice would be established through night and day prayer, speaking God's word. Justice is God making wrong things right. Jesus is the ultimate social reformer. He was the first to connect justice, that is social reform, to night and day prayer. Listen to what he said. So shall God not avenge his elect who cry out day and night to him? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. When sin entered the world, all kinds of injustices were to follow. I mean, do we realize that from, I don't really know exactly what it is, but somewhere there in Genesis 3 to about Revelation 20 whatever, all of that was outside the original will of the Lord. When sin entered in, all kinds of iniquity, all kinds of death, all kinds of injustice comes as a result of that. Beloved, right now, it's astounding to me the injustice in the earth that's done at the hands of sinful men. Slavery, human trafficking, child abuse, not to mention mass genocide. all these injustices at the hands of sinful men. Because man's heart is dark and it loves wickedness. And Jesus is saying, I'm coming and I'm going to restore this. And one of the things that I'm going to deal with is injustice. And one of the ways that I'm dealing with injustice is through the place of intercession. Those who cry out to Him day and night, He will avenge them speedily. What does that look like? How is that done? There's two sides of God's justice. There's the issue of judgment. That is, there's punishment or vengeance to the rebellious who resist God and His justice. There's also another side. It's salvation, the deliverance, the vindication to the redeemed as He makes wrong things right for them. Here's a few things to just help you grasp what I'm talking about. In the area of healing, oh my gosh, how much sickness has come into the earth because of the issue of sin? Do you know that wrong is going to be made right? Where sin has brought that death and that destruction, God's going to judge that, and He's going to make that wrong thing, He's going to make it right. You know, one of the things that He does now to give us tokens and encouragement and to give us a snapshot of what's to come, He exercises judgment on that sin by releasing healing. That's the will of the Lord being released into the earth in an unjust situation, and justice is brought about. Revival. God's judgment on compromise is seen in reviving the church by the Spirit. Evangelism. God's judgment on the kingdom of darkness. Wow. How about assaulting the king of darkness, passing judgment on it, and doing it by bringing about salvations? That's justice. That's what He wants. That's what He wanted in the earth. That's just a list to just to point to the idea of what I'm talking about. Now, we can partner with these things in the place of intercession. That is the will of the Lord expressed. And it's expressed through words. When we stand before Him and say, Lord, this is Your will. I know it to be true. This is what You're about, and this is what You're wanting in the planet. And we stand agreeing with that and crying out for it night and day. And then He responds. Beloved, here's the other thing, or another thing, about intercession. You realize intercession is possibly the most eternal thing that we can do in the here and now. You can't burn it up. You can't destroy it. Who knows? Who knows how much has been changed because people stood in the place of intercession, agreeing with the will of the Lord, crying out, and we know that the shift happens. We don't often see it. But you can't kill that. You can't destroy that. Once that intercession is offered up, it's offered up, and it's you can't retrieve it. No demon can retrieve it. It's done. And when we stand in agreement with the Lord's will, now it sounds easy right now. But beloved, the more we get into this and the more we see our role as priests before Him and the more we see our role participating in global redemption and the great human drama that's unfolding over 6,000 years, when we see that, oh my gosh, we can start to take entire kingdoms. We can start by taking Wichita. Now, immediately, right there when I said that, unbelief rose up in you in response to that. Me too. For a number of years. But I'm telling you, I'm starting to lay hold of something, and I'm understanding what the Lord's will is for the earth, and I know that I get to participate in it, and that I get to play a vital role in shaping the destiny of cities. It's not me doing it, it's me simply agreeing with what's in the heart of God. God has it on his heart to do, but he needs someone to come and agree with him, who will stand and cry out. Oh, beloved, I tell you, we're going to be shocked. We're going to be shocked in that day. And we see who's honored. And we see the fruit of people's ministries. We're going to be shocked at how intercessors shape the earth. We're going to be stunned at what we were accomplishing by simply agreeing with what's already on the heart of God. Beloved, it doesn't start with us. It's not our own desires being honored. It's not the fact that we earnestly desired something so intently that we prayed, and almost with a hopeful, wishful pleading, God finally had mercy and gave us our answer. You guys, we got to drop that. We got to drop that entirely. That is not a part of our priesthood. Here's the other kicker. The will of the Lord, if we know it, it's 10 times better than what you would ask for yourself. The Lord doesn't answer some of our prayers sheerly by mercy. No, I am not going to give you that. I mean, sometimes, honestly, you guys, our prayers are like handing a loaded gun to a 3-year-old. I mean, that's not how we parent. That's not how I'm going to lead my house. I mean, that sounds ridiculous. That sounds silly. But I'm telling you guys, when we get a hold of the global plan and what the Lord's doing and what he's about and how much our words actually matter, and that we're actually priests serving him, that it's not all about the comfort of our 70, yea, 80 years, although that's important. I'm telling you guys, it's about beyond that. It's about being a part of the restoration team for planet Earth. And we get to do something now that has eternal impact. It can carry through into the next age. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, think about this for a minute. Can you imagine intercessors standing on a wall, crying out night and day, radically altering their life to stay there in the place of intercession, gripped with their priesthood, gripped with the understanding that their words matter, contending to know the will of the Lord night and day. The Lord reveals his will for an entire city or an entire region, and they stand and they break in night and day, and they see a region turn to the Lord, and we see it start getting filled with gold and silver and precious stones, and that it's not wood, hay, and stubble. The end of the age comes. There's the great battle. Jesus comes, does his hostile takeover, and at the end of it, that city that we purchased in the place of intercession is still there. It carried through because it was made of gold and precious stone. There was nothing in it that was wood, hay, and stubble. Who says we can't do that? That seems like too daunting task right now. Well, the reason it seems daunting is because we think it's dependent upon the quality or the power of our prayer. It's not. You know what it's dependent upon? Our agreement. Our agreement. That this is what the Lord wants to do in the earth. And I'm so convinced of it, I'm going to stand here. Ezekiel 22 is what I'm talking about. Israel's slid off into a pit. And they're in horrible shape. All kinds of debauchery. All kind of fraud. The poor are being oppressed. And I'm telling you, when a country slides off to the point that now that they're starting to oppress their poor, oh, you want to see something manifest the zeal of the Lord, you oppress the poor. And Israel's come to that point. And it's come to the point that the Lord has, he's suffered long. And he comes to Ezekiel and he says, Ezekiel, well, in Ezekiel he records, he says, I went and I looked for a man. I looked for a man who would stand on the wall before me and plead on behalf of the land. I was unable to find one. Therefore, I released my wrath on the nation. What that says right there was God was pleading for someone to acknowledge the situation they were in, hear the will of the Lord, and then take up a position between their people, and he calls it a wall of intercession. He says, I looked for a man who would build up a wall between me and them so that I would not have to release my wrath on them. Now, the thing that strikes me about that is it wasn't the Lord's heart to release wrath, but they slid and they slid and they slid and they went further. And he says, I have a remedy. I'm looking for an intercessor who will build up a wall between me and them. But I found none. So he releases his wrath on the country. Now the question is, what would have happened had he found an intercessor? What would have happened had he found someone who would have stood in that place, agreed with the scenario, and agreed with his heart, and then pleaded? Well, the Lord answers that question. I mean, it's clear. He would have turned away, and the country would have been restored. Realize what we see right there. The will of the Lord is expressed through spoken word, and the earth is changed. That's what we'd seen right there. Now, beloved, I don't see any reason why the Lord can't visit in that day, visit a city like Wichita. And when he comes, he looks for an intercessor and he finds 50,000 who are already standing on a wall, pleading, contending, expressing his heart and speaking it over the city of Wichita. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine standing before the Lord and what you have on your record is you contended for the will of the Lord to be done in a city for 50 years. I stood on the wall of intercession and I pleaded your heart over this city. I mean, how would you like to have that on your record? I contended for your will, Lord, night and day. I contended for it in the school. I contended for it in the marketplace. I contended for it in my neighborhood. I contended for the will of the Lord. I mean, do you realize that's the Lord's prayer right there when Jesus, when they ask him, he says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Right there, Jesus was giving us the model of intercession. This is how you pray. You pray that the will of the Lord is done in the earth. Beloved, what I want us to get a hold of is, it's not about us and how eloquent or how powerful or how anointed or whatever it is that we are in the place of prayer. It's knowing that the Lord has a will for the earth and that we seek it out, we find it, and we speak it back to Him. It's so simple, it's almost offensive. But you know what's really exciting about it? Is it's so simple, everybody gets to play. There's no special requirement. There's no special anointing. Everybody gets to play. It's not a special calling. Now, beloved, I believe there are some people that are called to, you know, whatever levels of intercession. I kind of look at it as that phrase about evangelism. You know, I mean, we know that there's people that have an anointing for evangelism, but we're all encouraged to do the work of evangelism, do the work of an evangelist, that kind of deal. We all have the role of intercession. That is part of our priesthood. That is partly how it's walked out. That is the primary place that we serve the Lord. It's said about Anna in Luke. It says that she served the Lord night and day through prayer and fasting. We tend to think of serving the Lord as evangelism or working in the kitchen or taking the trash out, which that is. But we don't often think of the fact that we're actually, as priests, serving the Lord through intercession. But we are. We do. We can. We should. Bottom of page 3. says, you are wholly enthroned in the praises of Israel. Notice there that the Lord is enthroned in praise. What does that mean? When the word of the Lord is spoken, in this case when it's sung, the Lord shows up, the Lord releases power, His will breaks into the earth. You've heard me say it many times. Worship is agreeing with who God is. That's what our songs are. You realize that? For real. It's not for us. The worship wasn't intended for you. I think we all know that. Although we tend to judge where we're going to go to church based on that, whether it does anything for us or not. And that's okay. But beloved, when we stand and worship, we're actually verbalizing what we know to be true about the Lord. And there's a release of power that happens in that. Look at the next verse. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Why? To execute vengeance on the nations and punish the peoples, to bind their kings with chains, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all the saints. Do you realize that at the end of the age that we're going to play a huge part in the nations being judged, and we're going to do that through worship, through song? Vengeance will be released through that. I mean, I've heard some worship that's a bit militant. Have you heard that? But I'm telling you, this is taking it on to a whole new level. I mean, we see that a number of times throughout the Word, where worship had such a devastating effect. Beloved, do you realize? Paul talked about it several times, and he mentions it so matter-of-factly. He says, hey, you do know that you're going to sit on the 12 thrones and judge all the nations. You do know that you're going to even judge angels. I mean, he says it so matterly of fact. And here when we talk about it, participating in that rule that he has, that government that he enforces from his throne, that we get to participate about it in it, when we hear it now, it's like, man, I don't know. You was talking about intercession 1 minute, now you're talking about judging nations. Yeah, that's the partnership role that we have. I think it's primarily speaking about the end of the age. Right now, he's looking for someone who will contend. Let's stand. Is John in here? John Harder, are you in here? Are you available? Okay. Jace, would you come play for just a little bit? You guys, I just kind of fumbled through part of this tonight. I feel something that came on me today, and I feel just such an urgency. No, it's not urgency. Something's just gripping my heart about the reality of our situation. We have the most incredible opportunity that mankind could ever hope for, and that's to be in partnership in the arena of government with the greatest king who ever lived. We're a part of his kingdom, and we get to help shape the earth by agreeing with his leadership and agreeing with the will that's on his heart. And we get to simply speak it back to him, and he responds. He responds. There's another verse that talks about intercession coming down like lightning. it strikes the earth and it has impact. Beloved, this is so much about our priesthood and about who we are and how we serve this man. How are we going to serve him? Well, this is one way that everybody gets to serve. Is we get to respond to the honor and the privilege and the mystery and the majesty of intercession. What we say and do matters. In just the next few moments, what I want to do is I just want to come before the Lord and I just want to pause for a moment and I just want to give Him an opportunity to do to us whatever He wants to do to us. And I feel for me, I'm presuming that it is for some of you as well, but for me, my heart's being marked this afternoon and evening in a way around intercession that I've never experienced, and I suspect that it's the case for some of you. You guys, what I'm talking about is not about praying harder. It's not about gutting out our prayer time. Oh, I want us to set our heart on a journey to know the will of the Lord, and having full faith and confidence that when we speak that will back to Him, things in the earth change. Eternal things change. Things shift. Cities are given over to Him. The hearts of kings are changed. Do you realize we could stand and agree with the Lord about His destiny for our nation? We could stand and contend, and our president is one dream, one encounter away from a major shifting. Sometimes that's all it takes. I've got more faith in that system of government . It's not a democracy, it's a theocracy. But it's the best you could ever hope for. It's right. It's perfect leadership. So, beloved, I just want to wait on the Lord for just a moment. I want us to put our hearts before Him. However you do that, I'm not exactly sure I know what that means. But I feel like the Lord's done something to me today and brought something to my mind. And you guys, my inner man is just raging right now with zeal, with encouragement. I've got so much clarity on it right now. What a way to live. Come into the King's courts daily and shape human history just by simply standing and agreeing with this man. So just posture yourself before the Lord. Just in your own way, say, Lord, here I am. Lord, here we are. Beloved, I just said to the Lord, Lord, here I am. I'm weak. And the phrase that came to me, He just whispered to me, your yes is not weak. Father, I ask for revelation right now. I ask Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd come right now. Holy Spirit, we say yes to you. Jesus, we say yes to your leadership. We say yes to the priesthood. Spirit, I ask that you'd come right now and that you'd stir hearts in the area of intercession, priesthood, your coming. Spirit, I ask you to come. Just by show of hands, how many of you just feel like the Lord's just stirring something in you right now? How many of you feel like the Lord's calling you to something or putting an invitation before you of some kind? Okay, just I want you to just hold your hand up for a minute, because some of the IHOP team are going to make their way to you. If you just absolutely feel like zero right now, that's fine. Doesn't necessarily mean it is, but you may just turn and look around. Some of the people have their hand raised, and just minister to them. Just ask the Lord for more. We're just gonna stay right here for a while. Not long, just a while. Holy Spirit, I ask that right now you would come and you would make your will known. I ask that you'd communicate your will concerning intercession. You'd communicate it to these hearts right now. Father, I ask that you would seize for yourself right now intercessors. I ask that you just draw hearts right now into that priestly role. Father, I'm asking that right now you would raise up men and women who would burn before you, who would burn, offer their lives before you in the place of intercession, that they would burn for you. Father, I ask that you would release revelation of our role, that we have a part to play in partnering with you. Father, I ask that you'd strike our hearts with sobriety. Strike our hearts with sobriety, that we would accurately discern where we're at and what our situation is and what our role is to be. Father, right now I'm asking that you would release grace to agree. Oh, Father, I'm asking that you would release grace, that our lives would be marked by grace to agree, that in our speech, in our action, in our time spent, in how we steward the resources you've given us, oh, that our lives would agree with you. What we give our heart to and what we put before our eye, what we give our will and our emotions to would agree with you. Oh, Father, that our lives would be a living testament of agreement with you. Father, I ask that you release grace for it right now. Father, I ask that you would deliver us from false thinking. Deliver us from unbelief that minimizes our role. that minimizes what you've called us to, that minimizes the potential of our effect in our ministry. Father, deliver us from that deception. Deliver us from small thinking, unbelief. Right now, you burn in them. Father, we ask for Holy Spirit burnings right now. Couple more minutes. Yes, Holy Spirit, we ask that you release your burnings right now, that you would touch us in such a way that sets us ablaze inside, for real. Father, I'm asking that you would release grace to us, that we would be able to present ourselves to you as intercessors, that when you go looking for a man, you need not look any further. Oh, Father, I'm asking that you would give these people the grace to give their lives to you, to give their lives over to that priestly role of intercession. Father, as much as you would have for them, I ask that you give them the grace to do it. Father, I ask that the rest of this evening, through the night and on tomorrow, I ask for just continued revelation and understanding about our role as priest, about the power of agreement. I ask that you'd even grant us dreams tonight that would communicate even further what you want to do in the earth through people who agree with you. So, Father, we ask for grace to respond rightly, grace to stand, plead your will. Oh, Father, would you give us grace to plead your will over our families? You have a will for those sons and for those daughters. Oh, Father, right now, would you I just feel like the Lord has just got grace right now for us in the room who have older sons and daughters. Lord, would you release grace for us to contend? Oh, Father, would you release grace right now that we would come and we could come before you and we could plead your heart over our daughters and over our sons and our son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws. You have a will for them. You have destiny for them. Father, give us grace to stand and plead their case before you. Oh, Father, I'm asking that right now that you would give revelation to these couples, that they would know your will for these young men and women. Your will, your destiny. Father, I ask that you would give them revelation of your will and that you'd give them the grace to contend, stand before you, and just speak back to you what's on your heart for them. It is not your desire that any would perish, but you need people to agree with you. So, Father, I'm asking that right now that you would release divine energy in these families right now. Divine energy to stand and contend for sons and daughters, brothers and sisters. Oh God, we have not declared your name as fully as we could. Father, give us grace to proclaim your name, to contend. Situation room. Beloved, this is the situation. God loves them, but they don't love Him back. That's really the situation. So, Father, we thank you. Jesus, I thank you that you live to make intercession. The high priest of our confession lives to make intercession. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in us right now this evening, continuing on to tomorrow. Father, I ask that you would give a number of us dreams tonight. Thank you, Lord.